Okay, I'm prepared.
Okay.
Three, two, one.
Beautiful.
Incredible.
Excellent.
It's May 18th, 2022, and holler, holler, get dollar. I'm Six Detmar.
And I'm Nick Cease, and this is Oops All Anime, a podcast where we... What do we do, Six, and who is we?
Well, this is Oops All Anime, a television podcast.
Oh, I love television. And I also love colons. Speaking of colons... never mind.
I guess I fundamentally understand what a colon is, but I guess it's just part of the intestines, right?
No, I mean, sure. It's like the large intestine, basically.
Okay.
What do you mean you fundamentally don't understand what a colon is?
It never really, people just talk, like, it's, you never have anyone be like, so here's what a colon does. Just people just mention colon in passing, usually in the concept of either a cleanse or cancer.
I mean, I guess, but I also have Google and I've seen a diagram.
I didn't Google it before, Google, all right, before. Nicholas, you little shit.
Just to have a fundamental lack.
Everybody has things they don't know, they don't understand, and I think we should accept them when they are put forward in such terms with love and grace and kindness.
Love and grace,
like I would get from my friend Alan Ibrahim.
Hi, everyone. The colon removes water and nutrients and electrolytes from partially digested food.
Thank you, Alan.
There we go.
See,
thanks,
the
Alan.
Thing about it, the reason you've never had this is because you never really ask me just like in that sort of way where you're just like, hey, this is a thing I don't understand. You're just like, I don't know, you're shit about it.
I just Google it.
Whatever you do, it's wrong. Whatever you do is wrong. I just want you to know.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to be here. I'm thrilled, actually. It's a great time.
Yeah, we're both getting some Stockholm Syndrome. We're both starting to cave into the whims of our captor, a certain anime and its 8 episodes. And in so doing, we are beginning to turn on each other.
What is Oops All Anime? It's been a while since I've been here.
Oops All Anime is a podcast where we watch part of an anime, usually the first 3 episodes, though it varies a little bit, to sort of give us a little taste. Like, you ever ordered a sampler platter?
Sure.
Of appetizers?
Yeah.
I haven't actually, but I've seen them and I'm like, okay, sure, this seems like that. Where they just give you a little bit of each appetizer, and you can be like, okay, I like this one. And maybe next time you visit, you'll know what to order.
That's a great description.
And that's what we do with anime.
Mm-hmm.
But we're
it's
not
a very
really doing that this time.
Bonus episode.
It's spooky.
It is.
I think by the middle of the watching starts to get a little spooky. Because we're here to talk about The Endless Eight from... The Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya Season 2. But first, we have to take it to Arteezy Speakeasy.
Ah, thank goodness.
I've gotten all my rage out at the patch. Now I'm just trying to be happy. Because when the new patch drops and I like it, I'll probably be angry all the time. I need something to be mad at. And now that I have the patch of the anime,
hello and welcome to Arteezy Speakeasy. Arteezy Speakeasy, of course, is a little watering hole we have. It is run by Artur Artizi Babayev, a professional Dota 2 player. And it's a little different than your usual bar, your usual speakeasy. Instead of you're sitting at the bar talking to the bartender about your problems. You go and sit at the bar here, and Artizi talks about his problems to you. So welcome. Six, go ahead and tell us what you got, Speak easily. On a podcast.
Hello. Yeah. We are we're here with some drinks. This is normally a bottle crow segment, but with Nick and I, it's like, first of all, we figured this podcast was going to, like, the discussion was going to suck, and so we wanted to give it some energy. Wow. And also, it just feels like a tradition of ours. Anywhere we go, we got to ground things in physical realities, right? You talk about the world of media and its ideas suspended in sound and light, but life is about people and the way they live, and the things they drink, and the things that get them through the day, like Dr. Pepper Dark Berry.
Oh. What did you do?
I can sense the enthusiasm.
I mean, listen, I like Dr. Pepper. I actually, and Diet Dr. Pepper is the like one of the only diet sodas I found that like I can actually do.
Diet Cherry Vanilla Dr. Pepper, bussin'. Everything else, mid.
Let's try that.
I don't know about Dr. Pepper. I used to like it a lot, and as I've gotten older, my affection for it has just shrank and shrank. But I'm hoping that will be enlivened by the power of Blue and Beta and their delicious limited edition beverage.
Who the fuck are...
What the fuck is a Blue and Beta?
Six is making it up. Are they a Digimon?
Close. I was really hoping Alan would know this
it's
one.
It's from Jurassic
not.
World, isn't it?
It is from Jurassic World. Okay, you did know.
Ooh, I do my research.
How did you do your research on this?
I
didn't tell you what I was bringing.
There's the trailer where they have these like, come on, Blue...
Yeah, exactly. What?
Isn't that okay. Blue's Clues, Alan? Did you watch Blue's Clues instead?
I
what the fuck is Blue and Beta?
Right? I mean, listen, it would not surprise me if fucking what's the stupid asshole's name?
Chris Pratt.
Yes, if Chris Pratt started to be the new star of Blue's Clues,
honestly, that probably
fucking
could.
Movie, and no one goddamn suck. Likes him. But. But yeah, he's the Jurassic World guy, and yeah, he's just come on Blue. So Alan is absolutely right.
It's a tie-in with a Jurassic Park World movie.
Yeah, the third Jurassic World movie.
Yes.
What?
Yeah, Dominion.
Dominion. I thought there was just like one, and it didn't do very well.
No, they did great.
It did very well.
It did extremely
what?
Well, huh?
Oh, God damn it. We'll just have infinite well. Jurassic World movies then. Okay, sorry. I'm sure you're quivering with anticipation.
Quivering, yeah.
That's me. I'm a real quiverer.
Quiverer.
Noted quiverer, six step mar.
This joke isn't gonna get, I can't make this joke work. All right. Volatile should be off of this beverage here. She gave it a time to air out, and we can just get the nose on this. It smells very similar to Dr. Pepper. This is a concern I had. Dr. Pepper is a very strong flavor,
very specific flavor as well,
that too, and I'm wondering how much like flavor additives can survive in this environment, right?
Life finds a way
can thrive. That's true.
That was good This is a Jurassic Park thing. That's
that
good.
Was
I'm so used to like Nick also feeling like he has to say something but not having anything.
That was good. That was not bad.
Another one for the soundboard, I guess. Yeah. The plus and the minus version.
Some fan anyway, service, listen.
Enough delay. It's similar enough to a drink called Dr. Pepper.
Oh.
That
oh.
I don't know if it tastes different and or like if my mind is just inventing things, because it's such a small difference. It does feel like it has a little bit of, I wouldn't have called it berry flavor, to be honest. That's not a connection I don't think I would have made. It's like a sort of a like a intensely artificially like not like artificially flavored candy, like artificially flavored like medicine kind of flavor.
Oh, so is it like a cherry? Like a red?
It's like Flintstones
berry?
Vitamins. It's like Flintstones vitamins. That's exactly what? It.
Well, isn't Dr. Pepper like the 11 herbs and spices or the 23 flavors?
Mm-hmm. It is 23. And instead of herbs and spices, I believe it is things found in a pharmacy. Like literally.
I mean, wouldn't that include Flintstones vitamins?
It would.
Alan?
I guess it would.
As someone who worked in a pharmacy, you brought the right person on.
Is this the original recipe? Is this the truth? We're finally ready to taste it.
The 23 flavors are cola, cherry, licorice, amaretto, almond, vanilla, blackberry, apricot, blackberry, caramel, pepper, anise, sarsaparilla, ginger, molasses, lemon, plum, orange, nutmeg, cardamom, allspice, coriander, juniper, birch, and prickly ash.
That is mostly spices.
Yeah. Yeah, 23 flavors.
I would say at least 11 of them are herbs and spices.
It's an herb and spice.
It's an urban spice. I was hoping one of them was like Flintstone vitamins, and so it's like they just turned a knob up and they called it dark. They
couldn't really tell because your soundboard's turned up so fucking loud.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know. Maybe it was. Maybe I just didn't hear it. Maybe I'll hear it in the edit when I can actually hear what Alan is saying.
Hi. I'm Alan.
Who needs to hear?
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, I'm going to give him another sip. Mm-hmm.
You could like aerate it, you know, like a wine. Oh, we'll get to that.
Okay, on second drink, the artificial flavoring is less noticeable and it tastes more like just a regular Dr. Pepper. I feel like it needs a lot of space for you to even be able to tell.
Yeah, a lot of mind space.
Nick, I don't want to use this cup. I've only got one cup here. I don't want to go get a cup.
Use a fucking dice box.
I do have the dice.
Alan. All right,
dice box. Leading the witness, Your Honor.
Longtime fans of I don't know what the fuck will know that Six once took a shot from a dice box for some reason. I don't know.
I've got this dice box where my heart.
I feel like more than once, but
probably it's a meme at this point.
Yeah, aerating it makes it taste more like just normal Dr. Pepper.
And the smell isn't even different.
I mean, it really gets very muted. It's partially because this is quite cold. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not, like, I guess I could... It'll take me a while to drink all of these because I don't find Dr. Pepper to be a drink you can have a bunch of in a short time. So I'll probably have like one a week for 3 months.
Bummer.
Really get to learn it, you know, spend some quality time with it. Just like I'm going to spend some quality time.
No. Hold up. Just one second.
Holding.
There was a tiny bit left in the dice box. And because of, you know, thermodynamics and how much space it had gotten quite a bit warmer. And the pharmacy notes are back in force.
The pharmacy is back in town.
Yeah, I think if you were to microwave this, friend, obviously take it out of the can first. We will unsure hurt yourself or your microwave. But I bet you would get a very interesting experience, by which I mean probably quite bad. But, Nicholas, I'm sorry. Please continue.
Well, what I have in front of me, Six, is the summer edition Red Bull. Strawberry.
Is this a new summer edition?
Apricot, artificially flavored. Yes, okay. I don't know. I probably like tried this on Bottle Crow.
I think this is this year's summer edition is what I mean. Because like last year you had a watermelon summer edition Red Bull.
Did they just reuse the color? I don't know. I thought I would have this. Strawberry apricot, artificially flavored energy drink that claims it vitalizes a body and mind, registered trademark. I will drink this and it is as if my body and my mind have never once been vitalized, much less revitalized. A pleasing little, I guess, apricot colored can.
I just had a dark berry burp, and it is really unpleasant.
Yeah. Oh, no,
it's not a good expanded flavor.
Ooh, deconstructed. Red Bull, the summer edition. The taste of strawberry apricot, artificially flavored.
the taste of strawberry.
Apricot. Listen, it was a new line, and this can is so reflective and like dark. I have to turn it so like I get a specific glare. Artificially flavored. The wings of Red Bull. Red Bull is appreciated worldwide by top athletes, busy professionals, college students, and travelers on long journeys. Wow. Wow. Okay, I was about to take a step. This ingredient list, I couldn't even fit Spanish flea in here. We got carbonated water, sugar, glucose, citric acid, I can't read it, taurine, sodium, citrate, natural and artificial flavors, caffeine, colors, niacinamide, HCL, vitamin B6, and vitamin B12. It might seem like a lot, but listen, I don't actually drink energy drinks. But because of Bottle Coat, we've had some toxic waste recently, you could say. Mm-hmm. Which just kind of keeps going and going and going and going. Right?
Yeah, usually for a normal modern energy drink, you would have been going with on that ingredients list for at least 10 more seconds.
for sure.
Does this have sugar? It's a Red Bull. I assume it does.
It has sugar and glucose. No artificial sweetener.
See, it's just going to be good. You're just going to have a good... Really? God, I miss energy drinks with sugar. The fuck is wrong with these people?
Oh, that's awkward.
why is it awkward? No, we'll find out in a couple minutes, I guess.
All right, let's get the nose.
Bottoms up, Simpson.
Oh my gosh, that's
I heard that very quiet Alan giggle.
So stupid. That smells so nice. Okay, that is not like fresh strawberry. It's like, I don't know if you made. It doesn't smell fruity. It's like it's like that artificial I've had one of these recently. Like you dip a pretzel or strawberry actually in like strawberry cream, like strawberries it's, and the like
that
pink
berries and
cream.
Commercial?
Does this make any sense?
The guy dancing?
Maybe.
Isn't that for a Dr. Pepper actually?
No way.
I thought it's for like six flags?
Oh no, it's not for a candy. There is a berries and cream Dr. Pepper, however. I'm not crazy about that. Mm.
Oh, this smells good. I'm excited. Here we go. Down the hatch.
Ooh. Great sound.
Wait.
Ooh.
Sorry, I'll hold my thought. I apologize.
Oh, that's gotta go again.
I think Dr. Pepper Dark Berry is just berries and cream with no cream. That's my new suspicion.
Oh, sure.
Oh,
where's
that
the
is,
cream?
That is so
I can't
nice.
Say the cream anymore without hearing that guy.
God damn. Alan, just see, Alan, you've got to. I hope you brought something bad, because otherwise I'll just feel like a fool.
My tongue feels it feels fruity, right? Because I get like some sort of acid on my tongue that, you know, makes your mouth water, that acid does. And so it's like I'm eating fruit, or like I'm having a fruit juice. It's so pleasant. It's
are you
like,
refreshed? Are you energized?
I feel vital.
Are you
honestly,
vitalized?
I feel a little vital. It's like an old friend. You know, it's the summer, but it's not too hot. Like, I'm in the shade. There's a nice breeze, right? And I'm with an old friend, and we're just laying back and enjoying the vibes of summer. Not super partying or getting super hot. Just enjoying the season and appreciating it. It's so nice. And I, of course, have a stemless wine glass here to decant. So,
Important question. Waiting. Are you going for like a white wine glass or a red wine glass? How are you going to grip it?
I mean, it's stemless six.
So red wine.
Red wine.
People do both.
You don't have to do stemless, but you have to hold it so your hand is like warming it versus.
I do know this. Yes, that being said, nobody else fucking does. But I mean, I do.
Nobody knows
agree.
About wine. I mean, I don't even drink wine.
I drink wine.
People tend to not know that, like, you hold the wine glass usually like by the stem for white wines or wines you want to keep almost at a refrigerator temperature.
Oh,
like,
sure.
The cooler, right? And then
you knew that, Alan?
No, but it makes like logical sense.
See?
Okay, all right. Fair enough. See, this is why it's great to have Alan here. Alan's the tiebreaker on logic.
Oh, it actually is really nice. Sometimes Alan is on my side. That's true. Like, surprisingly, it always surprises me when Alan's like, yeah, that is the case, Nick. It's like, oh, that is possible. Anyways, let's go ahead and pour it. Oh, it's like pink.
The sound effects are so good.
As opposed to like clear?
It's no, like it's a ruby. It's really
like ruby grapefruit.
Almost, just like a little more pink. I don't know. I guess it makes sense. It's just I was not.
Do you see, like, do you feel any hints of orange in there to represent the apricot?
Apricot.
What the fuck did I say? Apricot.
Apricot. Oh, and honestly, I didn't get the apricot. Like, I don't know. I got acid from the fucking strawberry, but I don't know. Like, apricot is dark.
Apricot is like a citrus, right?
What? No, it's like, I don't know. It's very, like, orange. It's like, I don't know. It's not juicy, right? Or it's not like.
I mean,
acidic.
I had an apricot for the first. Like, I mean, I've had dried apricot, but I had a fresh apricot for the first time recently, and it was like sour.
What?
Yeah.
Isn't it like closer to a peach?
If it's when it's ripe, it's sour. I also had this issue recently where my dad was like, "Look, I got fresh apricots," and I was like, "Oh, yum! A sweet treat. Oh God."
Here we go.
Okay, so they are, however, not citrus. They are stone fruits, which is like a, you know, an apricot or a peach. An apricot's like an apricot. God damn it.
Same thing. Just like an apricot.
Clown on me for that one. That's
Let's see if anything else came out with this wider rim. There's the apricot. Legitimately,
are you found
that
it?
Like artificial strawberry is lower?
Yeah.
And the apricot come out. Yeah. This is just until I'm just going to be drinking this during the podcast. Like, I'm not just going to throw this away.
I mean, I'm going to drink my Dr. Pepper Dark Berry, too, but I won't be happy about it.
Alan?
I'm dying. I just had a whiff of my drink, and I want to die. I don't want anyone. Well,
I think Alan lost.
Let us know. Document it for history.
So sign off in the comments.
I went to the 7-Eleven, and I saw, like, 50 different colors of Red Bull, and I was like, which one do I get of these? And then I remembered on Bottle Crow that y'all had some really harsh words to say about Ghost Energy Drink and their cavalcade of inappropriate flavors based on different candies. And I almost got the Bubblicious Bubblegum one because that sounds like it's truly vile. But then I went a little bit deeper into the refrigerated section and I found Ghost Energy Drink Sour Watermelon Warheads. And I'm so scared of how this will taste. Because I kind of like Warheads. We were talking in one of our Discords a little while ago about, like, what's the most sour candy? Like, and everyone agreed that sour Skittles can legitimately, like, dissolve your tongue permanently. There's some chemical in them that's just bad for you.
here's a review from Google. Tastes great and strangely helped me with my ADHD.
Huh? Well, that's gonna be great. We eventually talk about anime, but... I don't drink energy drinks. I literally withheld coffee today for this. So I'm going to start with the sniff, I'm going to drink from the can, and then I'm going to decant. I actually have a cup here and everything. It's going to be great.
Alan, have you ever had a Warhead, and specifically a watermelon Warhead?
Yeah, a while ago. But I know, like...
They're so fucking good.
They are.
Really?
Because it's super sour. It's super sour, and then it goes sweet at the end. And you're like, oh, that was great. Like, you end satisfied. I love a good Warhead. I just can't have a lot of them because the sour part makes me want to yeetus deletus.
It's very viciously sharp.
Yes.
Sourness at the beginning.
And so we're going to see how that translates to an energy drink. Oh, God, just the smell. Oh, okay, here we go.
Silence.
So quiet.
The crowd has their breath out.
I can't stop blinking. I'm blinking to get it out of my eyes or something. I'm making the Cortana disappointed face right now. Oh, that fucking... My eyes hate that.
What? It's so volatile.
It's like... I don't drink a lot of carbonated stuff, so when stuff is carbonated, I'm like, ooh, exotic! And it's like a Coke. So I stopped drinking soda regularly on my 18th birthday. It's not good. It tastes so artificial. Like, you were talking before about how, like, sugar-free makes energy drinks taste bad.
Yeah.
That's the case here.
Absolutely.
That's definitely the case
here. Do you think it would work if it weren't artificial? It seems like no. It seems like there's more going on that's bad.
Well, the thing is I think they're doing what they wanted to do. This does taste like a Warhead. Like, sorry, I'm very, like, burpy. You know how when you have, like, a really sour thing, your tongue kind of, like, curls up a little bit? Like, it goes, like, up towards the top of your mouth a little? My mouth is doing that, even though this isn't, like, sour candy. I'm going to decant it.
Your mouth is trying to crawl inside itself and die.
Trying to invert.
Which is the sign of a good sour candy.
I'm going to decant until, like, it's clear. It's very clear.
Yeah, I think the ghosts mostly are.
Let's get a little bubble.
I guess let's make them ghosts, of course.
Go, 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 ghosts.
Oh, there's, like, a yellowishness to it.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Sure, sure. Like you drank a lot of water and then peed. Yeah.
Yep. Is it an appetizer? Give us a whiff now, because it really releases, you know, it releases some goodness.
Now it smells fresh.
What?
Well, it's been like sitting, melting inside of the can for 2 days. That's what we were saying pre-pod. I don't believe
you. You have no understanding of how drinks of any how kind
refrigeration
work.
Works, I believe. Alan was like, it's going to explode. It's been in my fridge for 2 days.
I was mostly
like crickets.
All right, yeah, take a look at that photo I sent. Yeah,
take
I mean,
a look
I can
at
finish
my
this.
Vote. Oh, wow.
I'm being a little dramatic. I can finish this, especially now that it's settled down.
I mean, don't. Those ghosts were bad.
I need caffeine, Nicholas.
Make coffee.
No. Oh, I have some. It's like made and ready. I literally have a Chemex with a scale that you bought me. But I'm going to drink this energy drink instead.
I should shame Alan.
Yeah,
on
give
the
us
show,
give us the
like
give us the round
it.
Two, and then I'll read you some fun stuff.
Let me swish it. It's fine. It's looped around to fine.
It's fine.
It's like alcohol, where the first sip you're like, "This is I'm never gonna like this." Excuse
it's
me.
Funny you should say that.
Yeah.
Because on the Ghost Energy Drink Sour Watermelon Google. Google offers up the piece of people also ask, and I hit show more, so I have a long list here. And of course, we start out with questions like, how much caffeine does Ghost Sour Watermelon have? Does Ghost Energy have alcohol? What is Ghost Burn used for? Are warheads discontinued? And then we get
illegal.
To questions like, why does C4 make me itchy?
Whoa.
Do warheads have pork gelatin? What are warheads in military?
Whoa.
Can a Russian nuke reach the U.S.? And we're like, uh-oh, uh-oh, uh-oh.
Uh-oh. The algorithm is broken.
Does America have secret weapons?
What is this thing I just...
When should you take a ghost?
When should you take a ghost?
Are thermogenics safe?
No. Is this a gamer powder? Oh, it's a dietary supplement of what I'm drinking right now. That's awful.
Sour watermelon gamer powder.
Can you stack ghost pump and size?
What?
I don't know what that means.
The algorithm is like predicting based on predictions now. It's like three things away from the drink.
Mm-hmm.
I see. Well,
God.
All right. From the top, 1, 2, 3. Nick, 6. Alan. Sorry, Alan.
It's okay.
What?
You're the loser on this one.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Oh, I'm going to take another drink of my delicious summer Red Bull.
Well, while you do that, Alan, can you summarize what we're here to talk about?
Easily and efficiently, Six. Thanks for asking.
27 minutes in.
Well,
who are we talking about, Six? What are we talking? It's been half an hour. We are talking about Haruhi Suzumiya Endless 8, an 8-episode arc in the second season.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I
you
get
already
we
know
can't,
what Haruhi
like,
is
summarize,
about.
Are you going to summarize up to here?
I can give you 5 seconds on what Haruhi is about. A reality warping being disguised as a high school girl brings a bunch of weird and magical friends with her to school, and she can warp reality to her whims. That's Haruhi Suzumiya.
But
she doesn't know that. There you go.
Yeah.
In the Endless 8, reality warper and Genki girl Haruhi Suzumiya traps the world in the last 2 weeks of summer vacation, with the SOS Brigade doomed to an eternal repetition of summer activities like swimming, attending a Bond festival, cicada catching, part-time mascot jobs, baseball, fireworks, bowling, karaoke, and stargazing. Koizumi suggests suggests that Kyon hugs Haruhi and says, "I love you," to break the loop. However, it is only Nagato Yuki who is fully aware of the thousands upon thousands of loops, and it is on the shoulders of Kyon to finally get off his ass and do his summer homework before the loop is broken for good.
They know that they're in the loop, too. After
everyone
the
knows,
episode.
But she's the only one who's very aware. That's why I specifically...
Except for Haruhi.
Yeah.
Alan, do you give, like, courses? Can I send Jen to you to get some lessons on summarizing
all Jen
things?
Needs to do,
Alan really produced this.
All I always want to tell Jen this. Just write it beforehand. Just write it.
Just write it beforehand. Just write it.
You'll get it right. She's a good writer. She's literally a good writer. And she's like, I'm going to improvise it every time. And it's like, no shit. Every single word you say, Kiri and Six are going to be like, oh, that's wrong, idiot. Like, because you fucking didn't write it.
That is Six.
Also because Jen is a person who tends to not do well with improvisation, which is fine.
Then,
but,
then
you know,
write it.
Then play to your strengths.
Play to your strengths.
Scalp.
Stitches. I forgot about that.
Thank you, Jen.
I'm pouring more drink, by the way. I could drink out of the can, but I could drink out of this cup. Sorry.
But that is basically the core loop, all those activities and what happens. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing she does the rest of the show. Haruhi, like, has a brigade, and she brings people around to do stuff.
Who's in that brigade, Nicholas? We heard names, but we didn't hear a lot of context. Also, there are some names we didn't hear.
Exactly. So we've got, let's start, we have Haruhi. She is, like, the Genki girl. She's the leader. Very, like, I mean, listen, the title's about her. Basically, everybody is there because of her in one way or another. We have Kyon. We never really learn his name. Just call him Kyon. He's the MC, our protagonist. He's nothing special. He's just like the one regular guy, but he like doesn't treat Haruhi like she's crazy, basically. They like fight and he's like, no, this is stupid. But he's the only one who, like, I don't know, Haruhi vaguely respects or like listens to. Sometimes listen. But they're the closest. And that's like his role as like Haruhi's friend, kind of. We have Koizumi Itsuki, who is his job is like he's an esper. He's like a magic guy.
Yeah.
And his role, aren't they like mind powers?
No.
Yes, he is.
This is ESP. This isn't your fault, Nicholas. This is a beef I have with the show. They always call him an esper, and this is the thing Japan does a lot, is they just use esper as a catch-all term for like they have powers and I don't understand them, when it means a specific thing. So what is ESP, Nicholas?
Oh, that's why Alan was ESP. I know what ESP, extrasensory perception, because I always make the joke extra cease perception is what I have. It's my sixth sense.
You do make that joke. I get air quotes joke.
joke, yes.
Yes, it's joke.
It's joke. And then, of course, we have Asahina Mikuru, who is a time traveler. She's like, she appears as and is a ditzy, like a stereotypical high school anime girl. And like Haruhi, you know, like everybody like drags her around. And then we have Nagato Yuki, who is part of, what's it called? The Thought Entity, a being beyond space and time, technically.
This is nothing, but my brain just immediately went THOT, the Thought Entity.
Six.
Have you made that?
Horniest member of her friend group.
I don't know.
No, it's pretty good. That is good. And she's like the kudere. She's very just kind of pretty emotionless, detached, and technically her role is to observe. Asahina is like a time traveler from the future. We don't really know why she's here because everything is Kinzoku Jikyo desu. It's all classified
information.
Yeah.
Not appropriate for TV.
Perhaps. No.
So that's the gang.
And then they go through that loop thousands of times, but we only see eight.
Many tens of thousands of times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the episode is
not
just
tens,
this normal.
Ten and a half of thousands of times.
15, you could round up to two. Listen, one sig fig. Anyway, the first episode is just that loop, and it's the second one. It only takes one. The second one, Kyon, and then we realize Koizumi are having deja vu, like really weird deja vu. And then the ball drops when Asahina can't contact the future. Usually she's always talking to the future. And she's like, I can't talk to the future. It's been weeks and nobody's talked to me. And so she's really upset. They have a midnight rendezvous where everybody gets together.
Ooh.
Oh, exactly. And they ask Yuki, and sure enough, the second episode, it's their 15,498th loop.
It's too many.
They've done it. They've been there a lot.
Let's get out of the realm of facts and into the realm of opinions. Alan?
Yeah?
What's your history with Haruhi?
Oh, God. She asked me to do all sorts
your
of
history.
Weird crap. have never watched...
Put me in a bunny girl outfit and,
I'm all right with it. Yay! I had never watched Haruhi before this. And I was always familiar with it. My best friend and co-host of
Did you watch this entire show?
Yeah, I've never seen this before.
We just invited. Wow. We're like, hey, why don't you come on and watch Endless Eight with us? What?
Yeah, I watched everything up to the Endless Eight, and then watched the Endless Eight. Yeah.
What? Okay, so you got more of a head start than Nick. You actually read the signs when I was like, hey, let's do this, and you were like, okay, I'll go prep. You actually understood.
I mean, like, we joked about it.
I watched the entire Endless Eight in one night last 2 days ago.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. It took me like two. Yeah, because I didn't really realize we were going
to
do it.
I wanted to make it as miserable as possible for myself, and it worked. I started at 9 o'clock, and I was done at like 1:30 in the morning, and I was like,
Honestly, I think that's the... Well, either I think you go to the extreme. You do like one episode a day or like a week, whatever, broadcast, or the whole thing. I think you chose wisely.
Truthfully, probably the best way to watch it / whatever is... to have been there when it was coming out weekly and to also not know how many loops they had done. Like, to have as little of it spoiled as possible is truly the best. Like, in order for that moment where Yuki is like, it's 15,000 to even land, you have to know nothing. You have to not even know that this is a loop. So that the first episode feels like, oh, it's season 2. It's a funny slice of life. Why is it called Endless Eight? That's weird. Maybe it's just like the endless summer sort of, you know, Japanese tradition. Because young people, like, once you become an adult, you don't get to have fun summers like this anymore. And that just keeps happening and happening, and every week you're like, it's probably going to be done. Redbard, YouTuber, actually did a great video about the Endless Eight over 2 years ago. It's the last video she uploaded, which features a lot of tweets and forum posts from people watching it week to week, and a lot of them are like, oh, that's cute. They'll stop now. It's on 2. Like, that's fun. And then they get to 4, and they're like, they're doing all 8. They're doing all 8. Oh, God.
You don't need to reference YouTube videos. You got one of them right here.
I'm a YouTube video.
It's me, yeah. 6-step bar.
All right, bad transition. No, I watched this week to week.
Wow.
And I'm here to say you're wrong, and that's not a better way to do this.
I mean, it's in terms of like what the creators wanted you to feel, which is exactly as miserable as Yuki feels.
I mean, it made me quit the show.
When I watched it 8 episodes back to back, I told y'all, like, I was reciting lines in Japanese at the characters. I was closing my eyes and saying the next line. Like, it got burned into my head more than any, like, material I've studied for college has. And it was, like, a very, very surreal experience where I'm like, yep. And then they're going to, oh, fuck, they're going to do the next thing. Oh, weird. She turned left this time. Oh, what color is the mask going to be? Oh, it's yellow. Oh, I'm, like, on the floor rolling around my room dying.
Felt what Yuki felt. That's a thing. I'll have to get into it later. Yeah.
When we watch the movie,
like, that's
what
I think. You probably
sense.
Watched it correctly. So, like, 6. It took you till now to get through the full Endless Eight?
Mm-hmm.
Did you just skip it? Did you do the 1, 2, 3, 4, like, 8?
Yeah, I skipped it.
Now?
I skipped all of it.
Oh.
Skipped everything.
No, you're just watching.
What are you?
I went home, Nicholas. I didn't watch any more Haruhi.
What? Wait, you were watching it and then you haven't watched the rest of Haruhi in the movie?
No.
Please.
It's not it's really good.
What? It's so good. There's a reason it was like the anime and still kind of is. Like,
they still put out new chapters.
What?
Have you seen it, Alan?
No. I know it's 3 hours long and that's really scary.
And maybe we should...
Like the rest of the episodes. There's more episodes, guys.
There's 5 episodes left.
Right. I think that means Alan and I are about the same place. We could just both finish and then have a night where we watch Disappearance together.
That'd be great. Yeah, that'd be fun. We have the Psy arc, the 5 episodes of the Psy arc, and then the movie. And then we can go over to bed.
Like the kid who does like the ink ninjutsu?
El Psy Konguru.
I don't know what that sound meant.
I don't know.
Nobody saw Steins Gate. Where's the Steins Gate fans?
Okay. I haven't finished Steins Gate. Like,
that's
I'm in the middle.
He
so maybe
in
that's
every
my shame.
Episode. Whatever. It's fine.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's not the best show in the world.
Yeah, the movie, by the way, is mandatory for anybody who hasn't seen it. It's like the conclusion of the series.
From what I understand, the suffering you felt watching The Endless Eight is key to understanding the movie.
The Endless Eight, yeah, it makes sense when you see the movie. Kind of.
Yes.
It makes you
feel
less bad.
I spoiled some things about the movie for myself. Maybe just a couple things.
Alan, you spoil everything about yourself all the time.
In my notes, I wrote here, I'm going to say this, and then Nick is going to say a comment on how I spoil
you
things.
You always
myself.
Do it. And I'm just like, no, you said it yourself. The best way to watch this is to not know. And I agree. And
yeah,
we can talk about that.
I went into the Endless Eight knowing. I already
I know.
This stuff.
But then you kept looking it up.
I just don't.
I know. Alan just always does this.
Spoilers matter that much. You can have a certain type of brain where spoilers are a big deal to you, but if you don't, who cares?
No, Six, you have the type of brain where spoilers don't matter.
Spoilers sell me on things that I wouldn't have watched otherwise.
Exactly, exactly.
You guys are, oh my God.
The one sentence I know about The Disappearance movie sounds awesome, normal. And I'd love to watch the movie because of that. It's not,
this
not,
is not
what do you
normal.
Mean normal. Shut the fuck up, Nick. What do you
people
mean
people don't watch a trailer and be like, oh, let me look up the plot summary. Oh, okay, we'll go see the movie.
Nick, that people do that all the fucking time.
People literally do
that. Is so unusual. That is very rare.
Some people will read the summary of a horror movie before they watch it so they don't have to feel unsettled during the movie.
Listen,
some people read about the new blockbuster so they don't have to worry about spoilers and then they can enjoy the movie.
Nick is the sort of person who's like, I drink my coffee black with one sugar, and I can't imagine anyone would ever drink it any other way. That'd be demented.
Sound off in the comments. Tweet at SixDetmar, SixDetmar, at Alan Ibrahim, I think, on Twitter. No. Okay, not.
Don't tweet at me. Don't tweet at me.
Okay, don't tweet at Alan. Tweet at Six. This is not normal. Listen, I'm being gaslighted right now.
No, you're not. You're being narrow-minded.
No,
mind.
I am not.
I'm like fucking Yuki right now.
If you open your mind too much, your brain falls out, okay? Your brains have fallen behind you. Anyway.
This is the fucking bottle grow experience. This Nick is just...
No,
like,
this is
crusades.
Not normal. I swear, this...
Stop saying
take
normal,
a look
Nick.
At
nothing... What the fuck is normal? You just watched The Endless Eight in 2022 for no reason.
There was a reason.
Normal?
Listen, I'm the opposite of that, okay? I don't care about anything. I say, oh, there's this 8-episode thing that people usually hate. Okay, I suspend not disbelief, my interest. I don't need to be interested to start and, like, give people... I give people the opportunity, right? I'm played every Nier game. I'm giving Yoko Taro the opportunity to have me... Enjoy
so
the Lord, like witness
the opportunity to surprise you with their behavior. It happens.
Yes, surprise
all the time.
By not just knowing about them. Nobody looks up the wiki for a book and then reads it.
I'm not defending the action of that. I'm saying,
of course,
for
nobody
you to be like, that's not normal is kind of shitty, Nick, because people are
it
different
is
than
not-
you. It's okay for people to be. Okay. It's great
here's,
that people are different from you.
Nick, stop being a dickhead. How about that?
I refuse.
Nick,
we'll
like Bottle Crow, like Bottle Crow, The Endless Eight is a story about something, but this is an arc about nothing. Haruhi is a story about... I'm just saying. This is an arc about nothing. And I have a lot of problems with the pacing of it, because I think we all can agree, episode one, super useful, like, storytelling development, whatever. Like, oh, this is kind of weird. Things are, like, very quotidian. Two is when they discover the time loop. Then you're like, okay, what's the fuck is 3 through 7, though? And that's where the misery comes in. And then 8 is where they solve it. So, like, am I wrong? Am I full of beans? Are you going to argue with me that you should watch all 8?
Yes. They're each directed by a different person. They each have, like, a different feeling. Listen, like, episode 1 is just regular, right? Episode 2 has this weird, like... bloom effect that's like weirdly dreamy and like disorienting, because you know Kyon's like really, it's like he's done this before. He's done it 15,000 times. The third ep like starts to get dark because like, okay, now you're in the mindset of Yuki, like, wow, no, it actually just keeps happening. And then by the fourth episode, it's like it doesn't have like the peppy music just repeated over and over. There's actually
no music
just like
in that episode.
Yeah, and you get these shots of, like, yeah, Yuki's just bored. So, like, it progresses. Listen, I know it's all the same, but it's not like they don't reuse anything.
I mean, that doesn't make it good enough to watch, in my opinion. Like, of course, you are right. It is alarming how much they don't reuse things, but they don't introduce really new ideas or new things for you to think about it very much, and I don't think it's worth your time.
You go through the journey with Yuki. You are Yuki, basically. You are the observer.
Yuki
who's
is
like outside
Yuki.
Of this.
But I have to bleep that.
Six.
But
yeah, okay.
Like
that's the one spoiler I know.
I
so
don't.
You're fine.
I don't want to go on the journey with Yuki. That's not a good thing to do. I don't play Tekken and then hurl myself off a fucking Mount Nicholas.
It's the feelings. I don't know. You get the feeling. And then
boredom.
Each episode has a different director. They are like objectively different in like the presentation. Yeah. And listen, usually shows do stuff. This is where Six is like, yeah, Nick, you said a tautology. What if didn't do? No, actually, what?
No, actually, I don't think that's a tautology. I think there are definitely shows that don't do things. I get it.
So what if? In...
Go ahead. I'm like fucking.
No, go ahead.
Finish the point. If you watched season one of Haruhi, they already do stuff like this. They already are we allowed to talk about season one?
Absolutely.
Sure.
We already know that she can reset worlds. That's the big reveal at the end of season one. Is she's like, and because if you watch it in one order versus another, you're either in world number 500 or you're in world number one, which is why people prefer the broadcast where it's pretty fucked up and awesome how they do that. So you already know that. And season one is fucking boring for a lot of it. The take I had, I texted y'all saying I have a take about Haruhi Suzumiya, which is that, so sitcoms, I watch like sitcoms pretty regularly. I like them a lot.
Okay, I'm
sitting back. Are people living a boring life and exciting things happen in their boring lives? Like a family does stuff, but then somebody dies or they go on an adventure because it's like an exciting event in a boring life. In Haruhi Suzumiya, these are characters who live in theory a really exciting life. They are all magical and supernatural, and all you ever get to see is the most boring fucking days of their lives. Let's go play baseball. Let's fight the computer team in a nod to Space Battleship Yamato. Let's just, like, do the boring stuff in an exciting life. And I like that. It makes the series feel very liminal and, like, we are witnessing the space between something bigger. And, like, that is what The Endless Eight is. So it wasn't that surprising to me that it was quote-unquote boring, because that's how Haruhi works. It's the things that you fill in around the show that are really interesting, not what you're literally watching.
You thought season one was boring. Is that...
I did, honestly. I found a lot of it, like, fairly dull. Whenever I got to a, like, melancholy episode, I was like, oh, whoa, they're, like, revealing stuff. This is really big. But all the other episodes are just like, yeah, we hang out. And I'm fine with people hanging out. That's cool.
It's the whole point. Like, it's
I
not...
know. I'm not disagreeing okay. with you.
Okay. No, I'm just sad that you didn't enjoy
I the did. Whole... Just because it's boring is not bad. It's not bad that it's... Oh,
wait.
It's quotidian.
There are different
it's
kinds quotidian. Of boring.
Yes.
Yeah. I understand.
I wouldn't have called season one boring myself, but I get what you're I feel what you're getting at. You're feeling I feel it deeply. It is the case that like first of all, going back to it, I was like, this is less exciting than I recall. and I do think there are episodes that are like aggressively mundane. And that's cool. I like that about it.
Yeah, so that's the point, think I, though.
Yeah, I think I view it slightly different. I think I find the ratio to be slightly different than you, but overall, mm-hmm. I think you're right. Yeah, sure.
And, you know, The Endless Eight is that, but what's so interesting about it is thinking about, like, what does this mean for Kyon? What does this mean for Yuki, like, in the background of what's happening? Because what you're looking at is the same, like, narrative event happening over and over again. And I think about, like, oh, the voice actors had to record these lines over and over. I saw an interview with the dub cast at some convention where someone was like, so what did you think of Endless Eight? And they were like, we liked it until they told us we had to say every line eight times. I was like, what the fuck? And it just calls to mind, like, what is the production intent of this series and why was this made the way it was? Because you know the popular theory, right, about why Endless Eight is the way it is?
Yeah.
That they they were going to make... the disappearance into five episodes, and then they were like, you guys can actually make it into a movie. And they're like, well, now we have a bunch of episodes to fill, so they just said, let's make eight Endless Eights.
Oh.
Yeah, so.
That makes a lot of sense.
It's hugely disappointing if you're, like, a person watching this for the first time in 2009, and the hype after the end of season one is gigantic, and they're like, it's back, and you get, what is it, the bamboo episode, mm-hmm. and you're like, oh my god, this is so interesting, and then Endless Eight for eight consecutive weeks, and you, like, Six are like, why the fuck am I watching this?
Yep.
So, I understand why people were mad. I understand why this is divisive. I think it's a really interesting creative decision. And does work by the end. I'm like, please, please, for the love of Christ, please just fucking do your homework. Oh my god, Kyon. Because, like, The moral, right? I like stories that have morals like this. In a way, the moral is telling you and the viewer and Kyon, The only way to make things change in your life is to do the thing that you've been blocking out, is to do that one thing that you know you've been supposed to be doing and you're ignoring because everything else is easier. Just do the fucking thing and your life will get better and you'll get out of this loop that you feel like you're in. And I think a lot of us can relate to that. So I like that. I just wish they'd leaned way more into that part of it instead of him just in one loop suddenly going, huh, what if I did it? Oh, shit. Okay. Like, it doesn't feel like he grew out of this. It's just one in one of the loops he figured it out.
And it's also,
I don't think it's a homework.
I don't either. Yeah, it's just about, like, Haruhi is a person who has, like, taken responsibility for these people's lives, and they have just fucking, like, gone limp and allowed her to do so. And she is having a crisis about, like, how do you know someone is your friend? How do you know someone enjoys your company when all they do is follow your orders? Can you people voice a single fucking opinion?
But it makes sense. So it's not like demonized or like, oh, there's a right or wrong. It makes sense because she's fucking insane with, you know, extreme Genki girl, extreme energy. And then she's like, wait, but now nobody suggests anything. I'm always the instigator. It's like, well, yeah, girl.
And I have friends like that. I have friends who are like, they plan all of the trips and they like manage everybody whenever we go out as a group. And eventually they're often, they're like, can somebody else like tell me what they like and not just like follow along with momentum? Because these are a bunch of like apathetic high school kids that are like, I don't know, I'm only, in season one they say like, we're only here because you brought us here also.
Literally,
we didn't even exist until you decided we did, like on a broader spectrum. So like, yeah, I like that take that it's also about Haruhi being like, my friends, I don't know if they like me until they make a decision related to my well-being and their well-being.
Do you know
and it's
how many years it took Kyon to make a single choice in his life?
Like, what, 565 or something?
297.
Oh.
297 years of this loop for him to voice one opinion.
Haven't you ever, like, not... You literally... Sorry, I'm, like, raising my voice. Excuse me. Haven't you six also deliberately not done that one thing that you keep meaning to do for literally years?
I mean, when that one thing is voice a single opinion, no. Do you know me?
No, but like to do something, to be like, I need to like, I don't know, just use an example, like fill out this job application that I know I should have been doing a while ago, but I don't want to do it, or I promise I'll do it. And then a year goes by and you haven't done it. Like we've all been there. I was unemployed for 6 fucking months and I could have fixed that immediately if I wanted to.
We just don't think it's about the homework. I think it's about, like, talking to Haruhi. And so, like, and of course, like, Kyon and Haruhi are the closest. So it's like, oh, yeah, Kyon is definitely my friend. And then, like, they show the montage. I think that's the most important. They show a montage of everybody at Kyon's house. Like, and that's just, that's not Haruhi being like, we're going to make a movie right now. It's just, like, a friend group hanging out. Kyon's sister is playing fucking PlayStation with Haruhi, so he's like getting to know her. I think it's just like Haruhi just wanted to know that she had friends.
I like that. I like that take a lot. I think that there's different ways to view it, though. I don't think there's an inherently wrong way to look at the endless eight. I think we all find what we want in it, though, and that's why I was like, I relate to Kyon as somebody who has like put off life decisions for huge amounts of time and also has other friends who make decisions for me a lot. So, you know, I felt that, but I totally get what y'all are saying. Like,
wait,
I watched
friend?
Season one. Huh?
Nothing.
I watched season one and I was like, I don't think I like Haruhi yet. But there are moments towards the end of season one where she's like, you know, I'm constantly worried. Are we doing enough? Are we happy? Are people enjoying this? Or are we just rolling on momentum? Like she has this moment with Kyon towards the broadcast end of season one where she's like, I think I want to play baseball. I think I want to like start a club. I don't know what I fucking want to do. Let's just do something. We're young and we have this time to do this. And that was the one where I was like, oh, Haruhi's like, yeah, a believable, like full bodied character and not just a piece of shit. Cause the first three episodes when all she does is like make Asahina as naked as possible. You're like, I hate you. I don't want you to get anything you want. But she ingratiates herself with you slowly over the first season. You guys,
this truly was all anime for the first time. I think it was accidentally all anime. Yeah.
I think there was something therapeutic about the session. I think we've all done good work today.
Yeah,
we all had different takes about the entirety of anime. Right, we have six didn't make it through.
All of anime? No, not yet.
All of anime? No, not yet. We're close. Yeah. Alan and I had very different takes on, right, I guess, there's so much to get out of The Endless Eight. That's my point. Like, there are, you're going to form different opinions. You're going through it mostly with Yuki. And you do get to see the characters not do different things, but be different. There's not much like character development, but there's character, there's like a revealing of their character, mm-hmm. right? They have the same input and you get some sort of variance in the output or how things work together.
Yeah.
It's not that interesting, but like it is there.
What was your favorite thing that they did that you were like, I want to go do that? I like the idea of cicada catching. I don't know how fun that would be. I do like that they did the whole catch and release thing, which I only realized, speaking of watching it 8 times, is worth it. It took me 7 loops to realize, oh, she's there, the cicadas. She's releasing the cicadas because it's better to let them be free. Fuck!
And also, what do they get if they win the cicada, like catch the most cicadas?
They get to be the leader of the SOS Brigade.
Exactly. She's and like, damn, decisions. I really hope somebody... Yeah. Catches more bugs.
I hope somebody else wins, but I keep winning, huh? What the fuck's going on, huh? Weird, weird. You want to know? Clever.
An Easter egg. Easter egg. Who the fuck?
Easter.
So, cicadas in Japanese.
You want an
Japanese.
Easter egg?
You want to eat? Hey, I'm egging here.
Your brother would have gotten the egg.
I always brought eggs home.
The thing about this though is. Are you familiar with the musical composition 433?
Yeah, John Cage, of course.
Mm-hmm. No.
Oh, it's awesome, Nick. You should look it up.
So it is.
I'll play it under this part of the episode.
Yeah, okay, look, here, I've queued it up. 433 is a. Basically, it is 4 minutes and 33 seconds long, and the score instructs performers to not play and just sit there. And part of what it becomes about is people like listening like to silence and their minds kind of inventing a meaning out of it. And that's the fucking Endless Eight.
No,
it's just like there are some choices. I'm not saying there aren't, but largely I think a lot of what you're drawing out of it, Nick, is a mind desperately banging against nothing for hours.
I love that about it. That's fascinating, though.
Each episode has a different director.
No, there's different things you can get out of it, though. Some people say, oh, I love looking at how people direct the same scene 8 different ways. That is really great if you care about cinematography and anime directing, for sure. Do you care about themes developing? Yeah, that stuff is also in there. It's about like learning how the different characters react and do slightly different things. Do you care about voice delivery? I like listening to how the voice actors say "I love you" in different 8 different ways.
It's the same way.
There's like different things you can pick at in these 8 episodes, and while I do think it overstays its welcome a little bit, I do also understand that that's the entire point.
Yeah,
Easter egg. Cicadas in Japanese is semisu, and the word son or jon means like exist. The dictionary exists, supposed to be aware of, believe, feel. There's a character, the whole reason Haruhi is the way she is, like the Chunibyo, like, oh, aliens, magic people, is because in middle school she met somebody called John Smith. No spoilers. Well, what is Smith? Smisu. John?
Oh. Jung.
So John Smith, it's like a cicada she released that came back to her. No spoilers.
That's a season 1 spoiler, right? Because I remember that happening.
Yeah. No.
That's great.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Yeah, it is.
You sure? Are you sure?
I'm sure.
Okay.
Well, see, you'll know because both Alan and I have seen this.
No.
And I haven't seen anything past Endless Eight.
Listen, let's not talk about spoilers again. Yeah, Kyon is John Smith. That's the thing. That's the big reveal.
Yeah, okay. Makes sense.
Yeah.
I liked, to my own question of what was your favorite part of the loop, I would just do the Bone Festival, yukata shopping, getting one piece of takoyaki, no more, buying a different mask, candy apples.
That would be fun to do in person. Watching it, there's this phenomenon I get with certain things, right? My earliest association with it is Home Depot, right? Or Lowe's.
Okay.
When I was a kid.
Bumpa.
My dad did a lot of home improvement. And so he'd be like, oh, I got to go to Lowe's and I got to get stuff, right? He'd take us along. And if you're a kid, Lowe's is not a fun place to be.
No.
Yeah.
And sometimes he had to figure out a lot of stuff. He had to talk to people about, like, oh, what kind of wood do I need and blah, blah, blah. And I started to just, when I saw a Lowe's, I would start to get this, like, low drone headache. And there are a few other things in my life that give me that, including for the seeing, like, the first frame of the festival in the Endless Age. I was like, oh, here's the headache.
Yeah, honestly, wow. I, like, had visceral reactions by the end to, like, yeah. And that, like, when Asahina calls in the middle of the night, she goes, like, I was like, fuck, not again. No, stop doing it. Stop, please.
It's great, though. She gets more and more upset until, like, episode 7, she's literally unintelligible.
Episode 7, yeah. One where she's just a truly, like, incoherent mess is pretty funny. That is a good build.
There's a lot to get out of it.
Yeah, and I'm really excited to watch more of it. I did, like, see the Crunchyroll thing was, like, starting the Sai of Haru Season Mia Part 1, and I was like, no! Shut this off. I don't want to ever look at this. But, like, I'm curious to see how they wrap this up, because I feel like Endless Eight set up some really cool ideas, and I'm very, very happy to understand this part of anime history now.
You haven't seen the episode where Haruhi makes the movie, have you? Where they make the movie?
Isn't that that's the broadcast episode 0, the Mikuru Asahina one?
That's the actual movie, but there's an episode on at least... Maybe it's a whole arc on making that. So I guess
that's probably what the Sai is. That's probably what the 5 episodes we haven't watched.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Last take. It's weird watching this alongside the latest season of Kaguya-sama, because both of their end of seasons revolve around a summer festival and people being like, I have to do one more thing before the summer festival. But like watching in like season 1 of Haruhi or whatever, when in the order I was watching it in, they never finished the summer festival. It felt like an endless eight of its own, because it's just like, if I watched this chronologically, it would be done. But it's never, they're never, they like get halfway through it and then they're like, next episode they go, huh, the summer festival is coming up. And I'm like, fuck, just end, please, God. That's all I got.
The stargazing scene. Listen, I know they can't change canon or the books or whatever. There's actually not that much material, a fair amount of material afterwards. One of the things that like things they focus on was, you know, the I love you. You know, Koizumi's like teasing Kyon like, oh, you should go up behind Haruhi and hug her, say I love you. And Kyon, you never get his facial reaction. It's a good thing they do. But you get different reactions, and Koizumi's like, oh yeah, he went too far in teasing. Obviously he wouldn't do that. But, like, okay, you could use the Haruhi and Kyon's relationship as a thing, like, maybe Haruhi's not satisfied with. That's, like, a big thing in the last arc, or the Haruhi, one of the Haruhi arcs, right, in season 1, the longest one. You could just have character development there, like, develop. I mean, it does happen in the end, but it's, like, the whole friend group, but. There was
and
never
the
really.
The relationship between Haruhi and Kyon is, like, super important to the overall series, too, because it's, like, the person with all the power and the person with no power, and but at the same time, he's the only one who can really affect her. So,
there is a fan theory that what if Kyon was the god?
I also saw a fan theory that they're both the god.
Oh,
which I think is kind
of
fun.
Maybe battle the true of the gods. It's smite.
God, no. No. Oh my god. I don't know. I'm out of energy.
Me too.
I think you need to re-energize, Nick. You need to be revitalized.
For
the second time.
Welcome to Jack's Snacks. Jack is, of course, Jackie Mao, Eternal Envy, professional Dota 2 player. And we're having some snacks with him. I actually have two snacks here that I've been looking at all episode. what should I start with? One or two? Six.
What should you start with? Oh, so you're doing both? Okay.
I don't know. I'm so hungry. We'll see.
No, you just do both. You know, listen.
Okay.
You'll do the other one on Bottle Crow or something if we don't. And like, let Alan be here for this. Let Alan have this experience. Start with one, go to two. You know, simple.
Okay. I have with me Firework Oreos.
Gross.
What? Have you had them, Alan?
Yes.
Oh. Wait, you think they're gross?
No, I'm being silly. Actually, I don't know about these. I don't know.
Unless.
Okay.
I've seen them for sure, right? Because they're the ones with like the Pop Rocks or whatever.
It's...
Oh. Pop Rocks in Oreos? I thought the Flex were just like flex of shit they put in Oreos. Okay, I'm fucking eating one.
Just try
I'm not
it,
even
try
like,
it, try it. I'm eating the whole thing. It's a joke. It's a parody in Minecraft, Nick. It's fine.
You can't say that anymore. The courts know what that means.
They know. They know.
My mouth was full.
I can hear it.
That's so awful.
Audio.
Wow. I mean, that's just
the YouTube thumbnail I just found.
Oh my god. What? That's just good. Okay. This is just good. I haven't had Pop Rocks in. Oh god, thousand yard stare. They really are pop. Wow, that's just good. Okay, I got one more here.
Okay. What is she eating? Is that like an Oreos? Like,
I don't want to look at it. I'm not going to look at it.
I refuse to see it.
They like take some time to activate. But then when they do, it's like a party in your mouth. Wow.
I wish I was invited.
I wish I would. Fuck.
Today, we celebrate our independence.
Firework, firework. We're free from the endless eight. Apologies for the mouth sounds that always end up happening on our podcast now.
I will say, even when you know that the Endless Eight is over, when the music swells and he finally says, I want to do my homework, I still felt really good. I was like, yay.
Yeah, right?
But even then they ruin it, because then they do their fucking, like, this is what it all meant. It's like, gosh, it really just is your past selves bridging, you know, forwarding a bridge to the future. It's like, none of them did anything.
They can't, their minds get erased. They cannot do anything.
That's bullshit, Alan, and you know it. It's not like you are allowed to make choices even if you don't remember. They literally just lay there like wet, like limp fish, dead fish for 297 years. Guess what? I haven't repeated the same day over and over, and yet on some days, I make choices.
They try to do like an existential thing. It was like an anime thing. I'm like, wow, we've done all these things. It's like very existential. Like, wow, are those people... All those loops, were they real people? And all their choices, everything led up to this moment. But there is no sign of progress in any way. We see the opposite of that. Like, nothing actually builds up. So it's a weird, like, existential thing that, I don't know, they throw away. And then we just cut to the nice montage.
Yeah.
I like that kind of stuff, but they didn't give us anything to think that was going to be the case. So it's just like, sure, Kyon, whatever.
All right. Well, I think we're all done here. We're all quite done here.
My sweaty legs are sticking to the chair. Please let me stand up.
All right.
Well, for Alan's sweaty legs.
Before I allow that, Alan, where can people find you on the internet?
Oh, if you like me talking about television like this, you can hear me on another podcast. It's Chats, a television podcast. That's found at chatspod.com and wherever you listen to podcasts. My friend Michelle and I talk about TV shows every week.
Chats with a Z.
Chatz. We also watch Star Trek every 3 months, and we watch a new airing TV show every month over there. So check that all out. If you like our work, it's patreon.com/chatspod.
Yeah.
Nice.
Nick, what about you?
Let's do twitch.tv/uraniumheart.
Oh, you're gonna start Dragon Guard 2? Is this your announcement?
I keep meaning to. I'm playing through every Nier game, including like Nier -3, -2.
By which you mean you played one Nier game.
Except Dragon Guard 1 was so hellish. It took a while. Yeah, I'll probably do Dragon Guard 2. I don't know.
I remember 2 being good.
Some ideas.
I remember 2 being all right to play.
Well, that's such a step up from one. I can't wait to try it. I'm reserving judgment.
I mean, I'm sure I'll be wrong. You know, that's how this stuff goes.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you want to find my stuff, you have. Thank you for supporting Scanline Media on Patreon. We really appreciate it. We have a bunch of other stuff on here and also on scanlinemedia.com. You know what it is. Take care of yourselves, folks. And listen, do your homework. Set up.
So is the loop over? Did they break the time loop?
Isn't it obvious?
No, it's not obvious, Band-Aid. If it was, I wouldn't be asking.
I thought we agreed not to use hurtful copyrighted nicknames anymore.
All right, Bandage Man. Is the loop over?
It does appear to be, Cager. I was hoping it'd be a little more interesting. They just kept podcasting, though. It seems that even in 15,542 loops, they still just do a podcast and never actually realize a loop is happening.
Amazing. You were saving all your energy since you got sent to the Shadow Realm for that?
I don't see you doing anything. It's hard to affect the realm of the living from here.
For one shining moment, I thought this was a plan to get us out of here.
Not all things that glitter are garnets, I'm sad to say. This isn't Greek myth. We're dead and there is no breaking out of this afterlife. Dead is dead. We should count ourselves lucky we can meddle in their affairs at all.
If you're satisfied with such a meager prize, Bandy, then good for you, but I'm not so easily distracted. I have been saving my influence for something far, far grander.
Okay, what is it?
It's not ready yet.
Oh, you're so full of it. This is just like that Canadian girlfriend of yours.
Jem Stefani is real. You saw her perform live, and I do have a plan. You'll see.
And when exactly will I see? Wait. Don't tell me she's in the Shadow Realm too. Did she die when the dome dropped? Cager, I'm so sorry. I didn't... Is Lady Gabbana...
No, the plan. And it'll be... 2023.
You're so full of garbage. We can't send the audience off with this. But luckily, I happen to have with me a bottle of Nurse Practitioner Pepper.
What is this, a morning zoo?
No, we don't have any animals here. It's just you and me. I said no animals!
The radio show format, you idiot. We're not tasting things on air. Do this properly. Tis the next season!
Of Stranger Things?
The Garnet Wager Podcast, you idiot!
Yes, the Garnet Wager Podcast, Season 6, 2023?
Thank you. But until then, just cut the recording, goddammit.
乾いた心で駆け抜ける。ごめんね、何もできなくて。痛みを分かち合うことさえ、あなたは許してくれない。無垢に 生きるため振りまかず背中向けさてしまうワンダーロイレル私過ぎてくよどんな辛い世界の闇の中で最起動あなたは輝いて超える未来の果て弱さゆえに魂壊されるように My way 重なるよ今二人にGarnet